Mark 11, or Mark, Matthew 7, 7. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. We go to a teaching, be seeking. In your mind and in your heart, make a commitment to say, knock my socks off. I'll catch myself, I teach. Then I'll catch myself teaching daydream going, all right, I got to go to bed early tonight. I'm like, he hears my inner thoughts.
Yeah.
So make a commitment. And the teaching tonight is on imagination. Imaginations. Now, normally, the word imagination is not necessarily a good thing. Daydreaming or imaginations with things in the shadows and stuff. But I heard a really neat analogy about imagination. Your imagination is a gift that the creator of the universe has given to you. And sometimes, and this is new for me too, until I heard this a teaching that my dad gave me. Here's a blurt out of Andrew Womack said, is on how to raise the dead. His whole teaching. And he started imagining how he would raise somebody from the dead. And he started doing it before, so that was part of the teaching, but I never thought about exercising my imagination. Exercise this thing, use this. And the analogy is, I was getting what a wonderful time we live in. I got to give a prophecy and minister to somebody in South Africa before the teaching. Mm. You know, this person was ministering, and thank you everybody for who was praying for me last couple of days with some spiritual warfare, but man, there's nothing like the peace that rises above every mind, to guard our thoughts in our heart. That could be, I was in this guy gave me a prophecy, he said, I see you, you're in the middle of the Roman Colosseum, and there's all the demons and stuff. And you know, get him. But then there's a light, and there's an umbrella of light. And he goes, during his prophecy over me, he goes, I don't know if it's an angel or if it's Jesus Christ himself. You're protected.
Wow.
Stand firm, you're fine. And then my sister called from Miami, she gave me a prophecy saying, I see you in a foxhole. You're fine. So there's bullets going back and forth. Don't try to be a hero. You're right where you need to be. And if we are right where we need to be, then what do we care?
Yeah.
And when we panic in this life, it's because we're impulsive. We don't know what to do and we make decisions. But if we are with him in the boat, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
If we're with Jesus Christ, it didn't matter what's happening. If I got him with me, I'm okay. And isn't that what's wonderful when we humble ourselves and we go before him, we open the scriptures, we listen to word of promise, and all of a sudden that peace comes. And we might not be able to understand everything, but when that peace comes, it's like a mother picking up an infant. Now everything's okay. Our Father, through his Son, will wrap his arms around us. He can't communicate everything to us. Neither can Einstein communicate everything to the dog. And then another teaching was, Henry Ford could understand the Ford he invented, but the Ford could not understand Henry. But our Father, he understands our limitations, and then he'll wrap his arms around us and give us that peace. We're in these things. But back to the imagination. The imagination, through the prophecy to my friend in South Africa. As I was praying, words, wonderful descriptions and things are coming out of my mouth. I'm not that smart. Articulate and wonderful pictures were coming. I'm like, wow, man, that was great. I feel like like Peter getting to be around Jesus Christ during a mighty work. Man, you were really good then. When you get to do a miracle or a prophecy or a mighty work, it's kind of like, wow, you were really, really good. It's kind of like seeing the Beatles come off the stage and you're one of the roadies. Man, I love being with you, man. Where are we going next? And we humble ourselves with a prophecy. This is what happens. And the prophecy was this. Our Father has given you an imagination. It's up to you what you do with it. And the imagination is like a horse. The horse is a powerful animal. But if you don't put a bit in its mouth, it won't do anything. And in order to put the bit in its mouth and you get it to go places, you have to put a saddle on its back and you have to break the horse. That takes faith, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The first couple of people that learn about bits and saddles, is this even worth it? This wild animal is going crazy. He's going to kill me. But what happens is they had to earn it. They had to earn this thing. And then when you see a war horse or some of these things these horses are doing, that person had to earn it. And the prophecy for her was, your imagination is a horse. It's a war horse. It's a stallion. It was designed to give you, to equip you, and to help you through this life. Each day when you wake up, exercise your war horse, your imagination. Where are you going today? And if you're not using your imagination for good things, your old man, the genetics of Adam and Eve, will use it for the bad things. And so you, and I was like, man, that's, that kind of helped me out. Now this is a picture up here. I saw this on Facebook. You see right here, here's a piece of coal. I guess some of my PowerPoint's working. You say a diamond is just a piece of charcoal that handled stress exceptionally well.
Yeah.
A diamond is just a piece of black carbon that through pressure and time, it gets crushed into this. So when man found out that a diamond and a coal is the same thing, they go, how? They're both 100% carbon. That doesn't even make any kind of sense. How can you turn something black into that? Now obviously the diamond is etched. It's a miracle. Mm-hmm. How do you handle your pressure? You go to homework, pretty tough. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be, all of us will be going through this thing. All of us are Yahweh's kids. And there's a lot of things that are happening. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily in his will, but he wants to see how you're gonna handle it. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen that where you look at somebody on a football field, it's your kid and you're a coach, and then somebody does a cheap shot? It wasn't my, I didn't want my son to get a cheap shot, but I'm interested in how he's gonna handle it. Because if he retaliates, he's gonna get a flag on the football field. And he's gonna learn real quick, you can't retaliate. It's the retaliator that always gets caught. And actually, I wasn't always the best guy. I knew if I wanted to get somebody in trouble, what you do is you provoke that. So as a parent, I watch their kids to see how they handle it. So does our Father in Jesus Christ. But how are you going to handle this? Are you going to turn on me? Or are you going to go, is this part of the training that's going to turn me into that? Yeah. Because without faith, it is what?
Impossible
to be well-pleasing. So our old man and our nature is the longer we serve him, the easier it's going to get, right?
Nope.
No. That wouldn't take any faith. And if it didn't take faith, would you need him?
Yeah.
No. A perfect father doesn't ever want his children to become independent completely and not need them anymore. A perfect father wants them to need him more. And so our Father, if he, in his calling, he's going to call you uphill. And if you're not using your imagination correctly, you know what you're going to do? The only thing you're going to see is going up. This isn't worth it. Turn to Acts chapter 9. You could put a million scriptures with this coal. What does Romans 12 say? Be not conformed to this world, to this age, but be transformed. And the Greek word for transform is metamorphi. I think it's the same word that we get metamorphosis. And isn't that what happens here? You got transformed. Each day, if we exercise our imagination with the scriptures and we feed ourselves, if we abstain from wickedness, if we live in the light and we repent of our sins, then we can transform each day to peel off the old man and to say, what's next? And guess what? We can always handle it. He doesn't set us up for failure. In Acts chapter 9, would somebody start, Mom, would you start reading 9 verse 1?
But Saul, yet breathing, threatening, and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, going unto the high priest, asked from him letters for Damascus, unto the synagogues, to the end that if he should find any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he was drawing near unto Damascus, and suddenly there flashed around him a light out of heaven, and falling to the earth, unto the earth, he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuting? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Yahushua, whom thou art persecuting. But rise up and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But the men were accompanying him stood.
Can you stop there for a second? The beginning of this says, but Saul, yet breathing, threatening and slaughter against who? Yahweh and Jesus Christ. Okay, who is this guy? Threatenings and slaughter. Yehoshua appears to him. What's the problem, Saul? Here, this whole thing happens, right? You know, you ever had to tolerate wicked people in your life?
Yeah.
You should remember some of these stories like this. They go, okay, they can turn. Now, I'm not going to put up with things. But I go, okay, they could turn too. But here's Saul. All of a sudden he goes blind. And here's a righteous man. Now, if somebody would start reading verse 10, Mom, it'd be good for you to read.
Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus by name Ananias, and the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Lo, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Rise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and seek in the house of Judas one Saul by name of Tarsus. For lo, he is praying, and hath seen a man in a vision, Ananias by name, coming in and laying on him his hands to the intent he should see. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many concerning this man how many evil things unto thy saints he hath done in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the high priest to bind all them that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Be going thy way, for a choice vessel unto me is this man, to bear my name before both the nations and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will let him understand how many things he must needs for my name suffer.
And so Yehoshua right there goes, he's my new project. I'm going to mold him into something. He molded Peter into something, but Peter wasn't Saul.
Yeah.
He goes, you're mine. And he took Saul, and like one of Yehoshua's first projects, in my own opinion, that I see with this is this guy named Saul. Yehoshua fulfilled all the Levitical covenant. He was tortured to death, hung on a tree, humiliated. He got back up after 3 days and three nights. Where's the first place he went after that? To Tarsus. That's the prison where all the angels had fallen. They're kept in some place. There's an angel prison called Tartarus. It's an interesting word. It's also from out of Greek mythology. That's where Tartarus, I think. He went down to there and went, yeah, I'll be back. And the next time they see Yehoshua, guess what's going to happen to them? Into the fire. But anyway, that was one of the first things he did, because for 4,000 years they're trying to kill him. And they killed, or at the hands and feet of the adversary, we're killing his family, the people that are going before him. Then what happens next? On the day of Pentecost, he sees his disciples, but then he goes, I want this guy. And this is trust the process. This is bodybuilding and stuff. Lissette is an incredible competitor. I have never done this type of thing. But if you really want to succeed at sculpting your body, the hardest part is this. Because they say, you gotta trust the process. Because all the stuff that you're doing, actually, I don't feel silly saying this in front of Lissette, is when these guys are getting ready for a show like this, you know that they're weak as a little girl. Yeah, so you don't feel big, you don't feel strong, everything's depleted, you have no energy when they get on stage. They have to keep training and their strength is going down. And you know what happens is they, even when they look in the mirror, they can't see any changes. And the good trainers will say, trust the process. Look at my resume. Do it. And a lot of times if you're going to be training, it will really help you if you're paying them a lot of money. Because this is a big commitment. And you're going to go, when this is over, if they're wrong, I'm going to sue them. Or whatever's going to happen. You hate this person. I can't stand it. Then you'll see these people get on stage and incredible things happen. And the trainers will say, trust the process. This is a transformation. This is something that people that live in the gym... That practice these disciplines can understand, going, yeah, I've heard of that. This is a good trainer. He knows what he's doing. He'll show you how to die to yourself. And so what these guys do is they learn how to, now, there's two sins we're supposed to flee from. One's porneia or fornication. The other one's idolatry. So you gotta be careful with bodybuilding and stuff. You start worshiping yourself, you're gonna get demonized. But in this case, what they choose to do is they make their flesh their slave. Yeah. You will do this. Yeah. And their flesh is going, man, what am I eating? You guys get in line, ask her what she has to eat before a show. what she has to do to her body. No water for how many days? There's nothing. But they do it, and they trust the process, then boom. Yehoshua, or Jesus Christ, saw your mind. And what did he sculpt them into?
Powerhouse.
He took a piece of coal and he chiseled the master into a work of art. Because who was like Paul?
No one.
Who was like him? Did he tell Paul everything he was going to have to do? No. You don't want to know your future. You don't want to. Do you ever watch a movie? Do you want to know the end of the movie? No. Because if somebody tells you the end of the movie, then you're like, oh great, thanks a lot. Same way with the book. You do want it, but you don't want it. You don't want to ruin it. Then the other thing is look at Moses. If Yahweh would have told Moses what was going to happen to him, would that have helped Moses?
No.
No, he's going to go, all right, all I got to do is throw a stick down and do this. I can do that. And Aaron's going to talk for me. Come here, Aaron. Here they're going, he had no idea. But at the end of his road, when Moses went to sleep, would he have regretted anything? Mm-hmm. Neither will you regret one act of obedience in this life. And this life is this big, guys. It's this big. If you were using your imagination to put all your prize in this little bitty life, you're just going to make your life way too hard. And every act of obedience is going to be such a sacrifice. This stinks. That you're just making it way too hard. You're probably not going to keep up with it. Then we turn to Genesis 22. So Yehoshua took Saul in a mold and he chiseled him into the Apostle Paul. There's it'd be page 51 in Genesis. And you'll get to see stories and stuff, and some of the best personal trainers and stuff, what they will get excited about is the biggest obstacle. Here's somebody that there's no chance of them, okay, but man, if I could get this thing to work, you know what my resume would look like? Mm-hmm. If I can take that and make it into that, or what did this guy look like before he trained? We'd all, oh, y'all didn't look like that, right? Maybe not. There's lots that they didn't look like anything like that. And the best trainers transform them into things. And those trainers can go, and if they can do it, guess who gets all the props?
Okay.
You go to Hollywood, they go, who's your trainer? You're going to go, yeah, he's pretty good. And even the professional bodybuilders and the professional actors, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, you know if they still hire? A trainer. Why do they need a trainer? Because a trainer is going to be able to see things. A wise man seeks counsel. A trainer is going to go, you're fine. It's not working. I'm just going to quit. Just do it. And here's Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, humbling himself to somebody else that says, you're on target. It's not working. It's working. You know I'm Arnold, right? Yes, I know you're Arnold. You pay me $10,000 to get you ready for this. And guess what happens? That's why they do it. Tiger Woods had a coach. Tiger Woods hired a coach that says, we need to fix your swing. This is actually like one of the Masters. You're going to tell Tiger Woods you need to fix his stroke? And they recreated his stroke. And does that take humility from Tiger? Mm-hmm. This guy better know what he's doing. And then here's this coach going, if I can fix Tiger Woods, I can fix anything, right? Jesus Christ, Yahushua is looking at each one of us. And he's going to go, I want the credit. I want it. And I want everybody to look at you and go, that's impossible. Who's your trainer? I'm glad you asked. Because I'd like to introduce you to him. Better take a meet first. Anyways, turn to Genesis 22, 1 through 12. It'd probably be good to have adults read. Troy, would you mind reading?
Yeah. 1 through 12?
1 through 12.
And it came to pass, after these things, that Elohim did prove Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold me. And he said, Take, I pray thee, thy son, thine only one, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and cause him to ascend there as an ascending sacrifice on one of the mountains which I shall name unto thee. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the pieces of wood for an ascending sacrifice, and mounted and went his way unto the place which Elohim had named to him. It was on the third day that Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Tarry by yourselves here with the ass, but I and the young man must go yonder, that we may bow ourselves down and return unto you. So Abraham took the pieces of wood for the ascending sacrifice and laid them on Isaac his son, and took in his own hand the fire and the knife, and they went on their way, both of them together. Then said Isaac unto Abraham his father. Then said he, My father. And he said, Behold me, my son.
Pause there for a second. One really neat thing about this right here, this account, is how the Rotherham sets up the poetic. Yeah. You can see all these gaps in the dialogue. It just really is easy to look at. So go ahead. My father, he said, Behold thy son.
And he said, Behold the fire and the pieces of wood. But where is the lamb for an ascending sacrifice? And Abraham said, Elohim will provide for himself the lamb for an ascending sacrifice, my son.
Which is neat, because on Dad's last teaching, this is the first and second usage of the word lamb.
Yeah.
And who was the lamb? What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus Christ?
Lamb.
Behold, the lamb. The seed of the woman's going to come. Okay. So they went their way, both of them together. Isaac's about 30 years old. Abraham's like 120, 130 years old, okay? Then came they into the place which Elohim had named unto him, and Abraham built there an altar and laid in order the pieces of wood, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar above the pieces of wood. And Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Then called out of the heavens the messenger of Yahweh out of the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham! He said, Behold me. Then he said, Do not put forth thy hand unto thy man, neither do to him anything at all, for now. Like John Lynn did that, now is the time element. When did Yahweh know that Abraham would actually do it?
He lifted the knife.
Now. And he stopped. That's it. What's the purpose of this whole thing? After the teaching, if you want, I'll show you a bunch of lines that underline right here. So I don't spoil some of my punchlines for those who haven't heard an explanation of this story. Turn to Hebrews 11, page 231. What was up with that, right? Who's going to win a wrestling match? A 30-year-old person or a 130-year-old man? Yeah, so what would that happen with Isaac and Abraham? Isaac would have said, Okay.
And what
chapter 11, page 231 of the book of Hebrews. Okay. By faith, Abraham, when tested, offered up Isaac. And the only begotten would he have offered up, who the promises had accepted, even him of whom it had been said, In Isaac shall there be called to thee a seed. Jesus Christ was going to come through Isaac. The seed of the woman of Genesis 3:15 was going to come through Isaac. And Abraham was promised that you're going to reverse the curse of the ground that happened to Adam and Eve. So Abraham didn't know. Everything's going to get fixed by this is the seed of the woman. It's going to come through Isaac. Abraham didn't know it was going to be 6,000 or 4,000 years later. It could have been his grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't know. So in verse 19, accounting that even from among the dead, Yahweh was able to raise him. Abraham believed in a resurrection. Yahweh's going to have to resurrect this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Here's and if you go back to, for those of you who haven't heard this, in Genesis 51, it says that for 3 days and three nights, they journeyed until they found a place. For 3 days and three nights, Isaac was as good as dead, and Abraham's heart. But did Yahweh know that he would commit to them? No, it wasn't yet. Then he turns to the guy and he says, we're going to go, and he goes, stay here until I and the boy, the lad, that's what people think is a kid, the word lad, return.
Yeah.
He's going to go kill him. He's going to have to be resurrected.
Yeah.
Had anybody been resurrected before this?
No.
If I had to lay on top of a little kid, put my eyes on their eyes, or raise somebody up from the dead, I'd feel very difficult. Nobody's ever been saved before.
Mm-hmm.
But here it was, and then it says, he put the wood on the back of Isaac, who carried the wood up the hill that he's going to die on. Isaac did. It sounds just like Jesus Christ, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, Abraham, remember, Jesus Christ didn't have the Holy Spirit until he was 30 years old. How was he going to know what he was going to have to do?
The Word.
Yahweh's Word. There would have been a little Yehoshua Mashiach, 8 years old, with a lot better memory than me, reading these scriptures wrong. What's going on here? Can you imagine Jesus Christ's hunger for his Father's Word? I can imagine that you with like flashlights at night going, oh my goodness, how is this going to work out? Hold on a second. You can imagine Isaac Newton and you know, all the perfect brains put into one as an 8 year old trying to figure this thing out. Then Yehoshua didn't have Hebrews, but Yehoshua would have read, he's going to go, a son laying down his life for a father in hopes of a resurrection. Well, that's a lot like me. Abraham was helping Yahweh teach Yahweh's son what he's going to have to do. You think about that. What's more inspirational? A story you hear somebody makes up, or a true story? Somebody that actually, the movie Unbroken, that guy did it. Is that inspirational? Golly, think about some of these things people have been through. What does a true story do for you? Does that build you up and inspire you? Yahweh taught his son through true story events. That is neat. So Yehoshua saw. So here's Abraham. And so like Yehoshua molded Saul and Paul, Yahweh molded Abram into Abraham, into this thing, transforming somebody into this work of art until right about there, that's like one of the pinnacles. A neat story about that is, it said the first fruits belong to Yahweh. The first one belonged to Yahweh, right? I had to deal with my son. I felt really weird about it. Well, I'm going to give him to you. And even though I wasn't actually taken to a place, I was really worried, a little hesitant about it. But I said, it belongs to you. He's yours. What kind of son do you think Abraham got back after that mountain? He gave his son. The relationship would have been 100. Can you imagine a relationship? When you give Yahweh the first fruits of your money, what happens? Does he make it worth your while? I gave him $10, but he gave you back. Well, he gave me $7.50, but he gave me an IOU. No, that's... Anyways, trust the process. Yahweh molded Abraham. Yahweh molded Moses. And how did, turn back to Hebrews, how did Abraham do all this? It says that right there in Hebrews 11. Remember, the context is your imagination. And to trust the process. Use your imagination. And by using your imagination, you're activating, you're exercising your faith. If you don't use your imagination, you are in rebellion, in my opinion. Why aren't you exercising your faith in this area? It's a very powerful faith. That way your heart is, your treasures will be also. That's what Yehoshua was saying, right? Verse 17, he did all this, believing in a resurrection. A resurrection has to come. Now turn right over to verse 8.
Chapter
11,
verse
8? Same chapter. Yahweh molded Abraham. Abram, father of the high place, into Abraham. But how? How did he do it? How did he do it? Because we look at Abraham and we go, man, I couldn't do that, right? Well, how do we say? Probably couldn't. How did Yahweh do it? Well, maybe Abraham was just, he was just really unique. You know, they broke the mold after him, maybe, right? Verse 8 of chapter 11. Isaiah, would you read 8 and 9? Yes. Actually, 8 through 10.
But faith being called... Abraham obeyed to come forth into a place he was destined to see for an
inheritance.
And he came forth, not one knowing whither he was coming. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign land, in tents dwelling, along with Isaac and Jacob and joint
heirs
of the same promise. For he was awaiting the city having foundations. Foundations whose
architect
and builder of Yahweh.
Abraham's imagination was this. The city whose maker and builder, the architect, was Yahweh. Why? The promises. This life is this long. It's this long. It's but a vapor. You know, these country songs don't blink. It's depressing. Right? It could be. How did Abraham do it? This. Where we going, Abraham? Man, this is going to be great. Now, I can imagine Yahweh walking with Abraham going, man, it's going to be big. It's going to be this. No, that's not it. That's not it. Have you ever been on a mission where Yahweh's called you to do something and people go, is it this? You go, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And you can imagine Abraham. What was Abraham? What was his hope? Paradise. Deceiving a woman that was going to take us back to the Garden of Eden, the new heaven, the new earth, was going to come through Isaac. To my son Isaac. Wow! Maybe not even Isaac. Hey, you know Isaac, Rebecca's got had twins. Hot! Oh, man, maybe that's when the city's going to be built. Now, oh, Grandpa, I'm always talking about this city. Hot dog! And here this is. And then I think Abraham would have got to meet Joseph when Joseph was very young. Look at the time. Here's Joseph. Oh, man, you man, go to see him. What did Abraham talk about? This city. Well, all the people during this age were filling up. It's like issuing the tickets. It's going to be a sold out eventually. Not literally sold out. But Yahweh's selling tickets. Who wants to go to paradise? The new heaven and the new earth is coming. It's coming. Every act of obedience will be rewarded. And every act of disobedience, you're going to suffer loss. Everybody's going to get to watch your movie. You're going to watch your movie right now. This is like a live thing that somebody's going to get to watch. When we go before Yehoshua, at the judgment, it's going to be unedited. Whoa, wait a minute, we're going to see everything. But the neat thing is that after that, in my opinion, everybody's going to get to see the highlights. They're going to get to check out your book. They're going to watch your movie, whatever we have there. There's going to be billions and trillions or whatever amount of people and lives and stories that we can read about. We're worried about Steph Curry and Lissette. In your life that you might feel like is insignificant, who cares about my ministry? The people reading your story right now care about it. Yahweh is not limited through internet and books. If people will obey, does he lie? No, he doesn't. He doesn't lie. And if you act in obedience and nobody sees, does he know? Yeah. Then can he go witness what you did to somebody in Japan right now? Yeah. He'll say, hey, don't tell me you can't do it. Elijah Gunner just did it. Who's Elijah Gunner? You'll get to meet him in a little bit. How long? It'll be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You'll hear a trumpet. You're moving. They got a movie. You're the lead. And everyone's going to get to watch it. So how did Abraham do it? How are you going to do it? Your imagination. Where are you going? It matters. And Yahweh is saying, trust the process. Each day, transform. Just trust Him. And if it was a personal trainer, somebody hired, if you got Arnold Schwarzenegger's trainer or Dwayne Johnson's personal trainer, and you go, hey, I'm doing a reality TV. I want to hire Israel. Well, Francis, we want you to be the two contestants. We'll pay for it. We'll pay for all your bills and stuff. We can do it. You'd be like, are you serious? Dwayne Johnson, you can see Dwayne Johnson as one of his resumes, right? Well, what has Yehoshua been able to do to people?
Yeah.
What did his dad do? Moses, very impressive? No? No? He doesn't need impressive. He doesn't call the high and mighty. He calls the lowly. People with no skills. So you got no credentials, you can't talk, you're afraid of crowds, you don't know any scriptures? Perfect! Man, I thought you were going to pass me up. Yeah, it's okay, come on. Trust the trainer, look at his resume, trust the process. So you take your, go turn to Hebrews 12. So how did Abraham, not just Isaac, which is one of the pinnacles, how did he do all that stuff? His treasure was a resurrection. We're going back to the Garden of Eden. What is it going to be? Who in here knows when Jesus Christ is coming back? I was witnessing to somebody, and I said, we don't know when Christ is coming back, and you're not going to be married in paradise. And she went, you can't come back until I get married. And I was thinking the same thing, kind of. I'm like, if you're going to be disappointed because you don't get married, then your treasures are in the wrong place. Or whatever it is. I say that, I'm preaching to the choir. I have a lot of things. When I thought I'd been coming back, I'm like, just... Could you wait till I get some stuff done? You go to Aaron, you're not using your imagination. What kind of horticulture are you going to be taking care of in paradise? Yeah. Maybe it's going to be Yahweh's prized golf course. Here's his trees. Troy, you're the head greenskeeper. You got it. I've watched what you did down here. You got it. Let's say you're going to be a trainer, or I guess you'd be a mechanic. You're a mechanic now, whatever it is. You're working on your resume. This is where we're going. Hebrews 12. Oh, before we go to Hebrews 12, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is about faith and endurance. Faith and endurance. And it's easy to look at, by faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, here this is Sarah. By faith, you know, Abraham, he goes all these, by faith, there's this endurance, and this faith that they're able to do it. How are they able to do it? Well, they were very special. They had really good genetics, not like us today. Yeah. They were doing the same thing. It's the same thing. He sees everything they're doing. He's got a clipboard. And he's watching what you're doing. He's going, how are you going to handle this one? Why? Because we got lots of jobs in paradise that's coming. Can you handle this? Fail. Okay, we got it. Sorry. And somebody else looks at this and somebody gives you prophecies and you get your peace. Okay. Wow, look how you just handled that. And in paradise, you're going to go, here we go. Just level up. We want Tim Sawyers to be in charge of this right over here. And these jobs and these positions, I believe it's not static. We get to go up, go down. I can imagine Saul before he fell. Not the second Saul, but Saul, King Saul. Man, he was going up and up and up and up. And all of a sudden, he felt like Saul joined some sort of union. I can't get fired. And look what happened. Man, he's not going to have any rewards in paradise. If he ends up in paradise, I don't know. Solomon would have done the same thing. But if you take your treasures and go, my treasures aren't with the people or what the people say. My treasures are going to be here. And that's how these leaders did it. And then we turn to 12. So we say, how did Jacob do it? Man, how did Joseph do it? Well, Joseph was really tough. No, these leaders were thinking about the return of the king. Going back to the Garden of Eden, chapter 12. Mom, would you read 1 through 2, please?
Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witnesses, stripping off every encumbrance and the easily entangling sin, with endurance let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away unto our faith's princely leader and perfecter, Yahushua, who, in consideration of the joy lying before him, endured a cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh, or God, hath taken his seat.
Right there. How did he do it? His imagination. Where are you going? It's going to be worth it. The first seat was taken then. Where are you going to be taking your seat? Here. Use your imagination. Every act of obedience. It's not easy with a kid, with your parents. Children, honor your mother and your father. Obey your parents. Rest these things, you're going to say, okay, man, it's not always easy. Or submitting one to the other. Doing these things. It's not going to be easy. But if we know that we're being watched, this is live TV, it becomes a little bit easier. And he's going to go, where are you going to be sitting? And that's how Yehoshua did. We're going to turn right back here to this. Now, go down to verse 11. Lisette, would you read verse 11 for me?
But not discipline for the present indeed, seemeth to be joy, but sorrow. Afterwards, however, to them who thereby have been well trained, it yield peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Yeah. Wherefore, the slackened hands and paralyzed knees restore you. The strength coach for K-State, I got interviewed to be an assistant strength coach here at one point, and this is what he had as well. Therefore, the slackened hands and paralyzed knees restore. Where's your treasure?
Yeah.
You're being trained. This sticks! I can't do this, I can't do anything fine, I can't smoke, I can't drink, I can't cuss, can't laugh at dirty jokes. What's the point of this life? Whatever you're going to say, okay, it doesn't look good. But if you're not using your imagination of where you're going, it's going to be really hard. Now, Yehoshua did it, Abraham did it. These molds, their hope was the resurrection, the new heaven and new earth that's coming. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Page 158. Now I'm so thankful, like this last couple of days I've been like a spiritual assault, the adversary coming at me, whatever's going on. The first thought is, am I reaping something that I sowed that I should have known about? Did I sow some really? No. Then why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? So what do? I reach out, and a lot of you in here are speaking in tongues and praying for me. You're praying perfectly for me. And guess what happened? Also, I got peace.
Yeah.
Okay. You mean I'm not going to die? You know, I'm not very good to you if I'm dead. Okay, I get my peace. Because of you guys, I was able to endure. Then I got this peace. I got your prophecy, Francis. I got all you guys' prophecy in your word. And all of a sudden, I'm going, okay. If I'm right where I need to be, I just need to suck it up. I'm just being trained, right? And here in verse 32.
What chapter? I'm sorry.
Chapter 8. He at least, who his own son did not spare, but in behalf of us all delivered him up. Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, if he was only thinking about the life that he was losing, he probably couldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. And actually it says, no, he couldn't have done it that way. Was he going to lose a life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're going to say, what he had to do is he had to exercise his imagination. What am I going to get back out of this? He had to look at the reward. Mm-hmm. Yahweh watched his son be tortured to death, spat on, his skin and flesh ripped from him, humiliated in front of his family and his mom. He did nothing wrong. Would it have been easier for Abraham to die for Yahweh or for him to have Isaac die?
Abraham.
It would have been, just kill me, not my son. Yahweh did that for us. Why? The resurrection. Yahweh can look at that, and you're seeing that. It says that in Romans, or Hebrews 12. No discipline at the time. It doesn't mean, now I'm going to say discipline. Now there is, when it comes to Yahweh and obedience, that's discipline. Other times we're just going through tough stuff. It stinks,
yeah.
Right? So why don't I just quit? Man, it's tough, man. Where are we going? Do you know where we're going? Some of these kids in here are going to go to California. They're going to go to Yosemite National Park. Do you know where you're going? It's pretty exciting. Do your chores. Don't get grounded. You're going someplace great. When is Christ going to come back? We don't know. It could be this teaching.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see everybody. Everybody's gone to sleep. We're going to get to check it in. Death and pain will be no more. And Yahweh is able to do it too because he was focusing on the future and what's going to happen. And the neat thing about that, not only is the creator of the universe on our side, that should make us feel pretty empowered, right?
Right.
I got him on my side. Let's just take a look at the second part of that verse. How does that creator of the universe feel about you? How shall he not also, with him, all things upon us in favor bestow? Not only is the creator of the universe on the side of Christians when we walk out in faith and obedience, he asked his son to die for you. That's how much he loves you.
If that doesn't give you encouragement, I don't know what would. So we're transforming each day. Hopefully, by the end of the 24 hours, the 12 hours, we should look in the mirror and say, am I radiating? Am I radiating like Moses' face? I went through some tough stuff today. I got some bad things that happened. How'd you handle it, Aaron? Man, some of the stuff I didn't handle very good. Slam some doors. No reward for that one. I can imagine the angels walking around. He did this one pretty good. And because of you guys praying for me, I'll be able to humble down. I don't know what's going on, man. He goes, would you like to know? Yes. Why don't you ask for help? I thought I did. No, you were complaining. Oh, okay, hold on a second. You're going to minister to me, and then I started radiating. So will you. And then, each day, trust the process. The whole teaching is trust the process. Jesus Christ died on a cross. His Father gave him to you. Now Christ wants to mold you into something and transform you each day so that you can look like that diamond. So just trust the process. So we're going to hear from Father. I guess I'll give a prophecy first. According to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to remind you guys, it doesn't say prophesy when you feel like you're inspired. It says be zealous to prophesy. You'll be rewarded for it. My sons and my daughters know that I go before you in every direction that I've called you to go. I've been there. I'm not asking you to do things that I don't understand, and I'm not guessing. I know what I'm talking about. And I also understand that you don't understand everything that I'm telling you to do. I understand that many things are very confusing to you. But just like a newborn baby cannot understand all the words coming out of the mother, you just got to trust me sometimes. You just got to move forward and trust me. Surround yourself with my words. Speak in tongues much. Go to believers and have them pray over you. And watch what will happen. I will wash you and I'll cover you with light and radiance. And you'll have more peace than you ever imagined. I will heal your wounds. And I'll make you stronger. What was meant for evil, I'll turn it into a masterpiece. Because I am really that good. Look at my resume, what I've done with other people. Now imagine what I will do for you and in your future.